I hope you have your Bibles with you, and I would ask you to reach for them, please. And as Lori was talking about the Gospel of Mark, I'd like you to go to the Gospel of Mark as well, please, to the 6th chapter, Mark chapter 6. And I'm going to read a portion of Scripture which I suspect is familiar to many of us, perhaps not everybody, but it's a story of Jesus performing a mighty miracle on the hillside as he fed 5,000 men that day. And there were women and children present too, so it was a big crowd. So I'd like to read this beginning at verse 30 in Mark chapter 6. Do you have it? Let me read. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. This, of course, is a great miracle, which is recorded in all 4 of the Gospels. This passage of Scripture, this scene, if you can in your mind's eye go with me to that hillside by the Sea of Galilee that day, it's a story and an event which is filled with unbelief. Mark chapter 6 is full of unbelief. The opposite of unbelief is faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot yet see. Living by faith is pleasing to the Lord. But unbelief is the opposite of that, and Mark 6 is full of unbelief. This passage of Scripture begins with Jesus returning to the town of Nazareth and finding the people in Nazareth lacking faith, so much so that the Bible says he couldn't do any miracles there. But the problem of unbelief wasn't limited to the town of Nazareth. It also extends to his own 12 disciples. Remember now that these are the men who have walked and talked with Jesus for these years of his ministry. And he's about 2 years into his 3 years of earthly ministry here by the time we get to Mark chapter 6. They are the ones who are going to have to continue on after Jesus leaves. They're going to have faith. They're going to have confidence in Jesus' ability to meet the need. They're going to be people that he can trust with the ministry of the gospel. The disciples will need to be men of faith. There's no room for unbelief. They had to believe in Jesus' power. They had to believe in Jesus' capacity. They had to believe that he could and would multiply resources and ministry. They had to believe that he was a miracle worker. In the face of seemingly impossible odds, Jesus could be trusted. These men, more than anybody else, had to really believe that, you see. And so, in the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus taught the 12 a very significant faith lesson. Because there were going to be many crowds as the years would go by. This was a big group of people. But it was just the first of many that the disciples were going to have to face. People that would be coming to them, looking for answers, looking for ministry, needing healing, needing the miraculous. And in and of themselves, what did they have to offer? They had to believe with all of their hearts that Jesus was capable. They had to believe that they could be channels of his blessing. Not that they would somehow have something to give to the people that would meet their needs. There would be many crowds. There would be lots of expectations that people would have. And how were these disciples going to handle that? How were they going to handle the pressure of that? How were they going to steward God's grace? How would they truly be God's hands extended to the crowd? We know from the scriptures that Jesus is the head of the body, the head of the church, the head of the body of Christ, and that each of us are parts of that great body. We all have skills and gifts and things that we bring and can do to serve the Lord. I don't know about you, but I have many times when I don't feel capable, I don't feel that I have anything to offer, anything to give. We have to be looking to the head. We have to all know, don't we, that Jesus is able, capable, and willing. The crowds are still there, friends, and they're hungry. The people in our culture, the people that we interact with every day, have many questions and concerns. There's lots of crowds, lots of people. We all face them. And just like these 12 disciples here in Mark chapter 6, we might have just 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, hardly enough to satisfy the demand of the people. But when we, like the disciples, put the little that we have into the hands of Jesus, then we have the making of a miracle. As we do what we can do, but Jesus does what only Jesus can do, and the result is something wonderful. Friends, we're all called to be representatives, aren't we, of Jesus' love. We're all called to speak to the crowds that we interact with. It's the pastor's role to train and equip the saints, all of us, to do the work of the ministry, but then we are the ones who are to be salt and light in our community, in our classrooms, in our culture, acting like, talking like, representing Jesus to the world. Every day we interact with all of these people, with all of these needs. It's Jesus' cross, it's Jesus' salvation, it's his mercy, it's his grace that we represent. We haven't got much, do we? But he has given us everything to convey and give to people. So consider with me, would you, for the next few moments together, the unfolding of this miracle and how it takes place in Mark chapter 6. There's 4 things that happen in this story. The first one is we have the opportunity for the Lord to do something miraculous. In verses 14 through 29 here in our Bibles, if we looked back to the portion previous to what I just read, we would read about John the Baptist being beheaded by King Herod. When this news reaches Jesus, he decides to retreat for a little while. He decides to kind of get away from it all. He decides that he needs something of a break. And the scriptures say that Jesus heads by boat to the town of Bethsaida. He retreats for a few reasons. He is related to John the Baptist, first cousin, and in his or second cousin, there's a relationship there. And there's a family connection here, you see. And so in his humanity, there's some There's some grief that Jesus is processing, having been close to John the Baptist. The disciples also needed to have a break. Back in verse 31 of chapter 6, it said that these men had been so busy that they had been unable to even eat. That's how busy they'd been. So Jesus knew they needed a break too. And there was such a crowd, the press of the people. There was the risk of a riot perhaps. And Jesus in his wisdom determines, I'm going to withdraw. I'm going to retract. There's times like that when we do need to retreat from the action, just like Jesus did. We need to get away from it. We need to take a break. And Jesus tries to do this as he crosses the lake for Bethsaida. But the crowd of people in Capernaum, they get wind of his plans. And the geography of that part of Israel with the Sea of Galilee, it's like a huge lake. And, you know, the people from Capernaum could actually see Bethsaida on the other side of the lake. And they saw Jesus and the disciples get into the boat. And they saw where that boat was heading. And so this crowd of people that Jesus was trying to retract from, they run ahead on the shoreline. So by the time Jesus gets there, the crowd of people is already standing there, smiling, welcoming him to Bethsaida. It's almost humorous. It's almost humorous the way it comes across. Do you think Jesus ever got tired of the crowds? Do you think he ever wished that he could just have a little alone time? Jesus loved people. He was a patient leader and teacher. And he had compassion, the Bible says, on the crowd. Aren't you thankful Jesus always has time for us? His compassion and his grace and his love is so wonderful. These disciples are more interested in sending the crowd away. But Mark tells us in verse 34, Jesus has compassion on them. In spite of everything he's dealing with personally, he sets all of that aside in his selfless example of servanthood. And he will once again minister to the crowd. 5,000 men, Mark tells us. Matthew tells us that there were women and children there too. Let's assume every man had one wife. Let's assume that there was perhaps one child in each family. There could have well been 15,000 people. It's not a stretch to believe that. Maybe even more. The reason that there were so many people in that area at that time is it was Passover time, according to John. John tells us the same story in chapter 6. And so John's explaining that because it's Passover, the people are on the move. They're on their way up to Jerusalem, where they would sacrifice a little lamb for the covering over of their sin. Under the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, this was part of the way that the people worshiped. And so this crowd is having a profound encounter with the Lamb of God, Jesus, who about a year later will himself enter into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, will be worshiped. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and he will himself be crucified as our Passover Lamb on Calvary. So it's Passover time here in Mark chapter 6, and that's why there's such a huge crowd of people. Jesus begins to teach them. He's concerned about their spiritual need. He knows that they need bread of life. But the disciples are concerned about their physical need. They come to Jesus and say, Jesus, could we just interrupt your teaching just for a minute? Because we have a great big problem here. These people are hungry and everybody's going to need something to eat. Jesus, let's dismiss the service so everybody can go to the towns and villages and buy some food. Jesus' heart is filled with compassion as he's speaking and ministering to the spiritual needs of the people. The disciples, they're filled not with compassion, but let's call it confusion. Jesus, it's getting late and these people are going to need to get something to eat. John, again, chapter 6 and verse 5 tells us Jesus already had in mind what he was going to do. That's why the first point here in this story is that we have the opportunity here for a miracle. The opportunity for a miracle. Jesus already had in mind what he was going to do. And I would like to suggest to you that the Lord is still looking for opportunities to do miracles among his people. And when you and I find ourselves in the midst of a challenge and a problem and a difficulty, boy, it just could be that the Lord already has in mind what he's going to do. By the time we figure out we have a problem, well, the Lord already has a plan, you see, for how he might work this out for his glory. It's certainly true in Mark chapter 6, and I believe it's true in 2019. Jesus has come to reveal the glory of God to this world, and on this occasion here, he recognizes that 15,000 hungry people have a need. But it's not a problem to Jesus, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. The opportunity, you see, for a miracle to take place. 15,000 people. Hungry, yes, for the bread of life, but hungry as well for physical bread. The disciples throw up their hands in despair. Lord, how can we ever satisfy this crowd of people? These people are hungry, and they're growing uglier by the minute. Lord, we just thought we'd interrupt your teaching to tell you we have a huge problem here. We just thought we'd point this out. You know, perspective is everything, isn't it? The perspective that we bring, the perspective that the Lord has. At this point, again, remember, these 12 disciples are not speaking the language of faith. These men are filled with unbelief. They cannot fathom how Jesus can look after a problem like this.